Thank you, Steve. I was a little nervous, Wendy. I got to be honest with you. I was a little nervous.
Why?
Well, Sam is filling in as producer for today. And Sam said to me, Sam and I don't really know each other very well. So Sam said to me, what sort of music do you like opening the show? And I said, Wendy likes really dirty rap music, like the dirtier the better.
I didn't believe it.
We had a chuckle. And then I just thought to myself, oh, I don't know Sam well enough to know if he knows I'm kidding or not.
I'll take Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper works. Yeah.
Sam, have we met before?
We have. We've crossed paths. Okay. We've never really conversated before, but nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Bill, have you ever met Sam before?
I just met you for the first time on Thursday. Radio is weird. You can do it from all different places. They make it sound like you're in one room.
Yeah.
But no, Sam and I had never met prior to this morning, but he's filling in. It's part of the Anyone Can Produce program.
Well, now, Sam, you've been working mainly in the sports department, correct?
Yes, I have. Yes. It's been a blast over there, but happy to be on the show today.
Well, Sam wants us to give out sports scores throughout the show, so 18-7, that's a final just in.
Okay, but you need to get the team and the sport.
I didn't have time for all that.
How about the Bears? Did you watch the Bears game?
I did not, but congrats to the Bears.
It was awesome, Wendy.
Are you tired, Mary? Maybe you should have your sandwich early.
To Mary's credit, she got 3 out of 5 letters. So
I have my class reunion this weekend.
I saw pictures. Was it 40th?
Yes.
Congratulations, Mary.
Why do people say congratulations?
Because you're still here.
Well,
you made it
exactly.
Back.
You're alive.
I guess so, because there were a lot of people who passed away.
Oh,
that night?
And we already had like a memorandum must have been report.
Memoriam, not memorandum.
Whatever. It was not good.
Are you awake at all?
Not anymore. I slept during the whole morning show.
Norm Crosby wrote Mary's opening comments. So when you say they did a memoriam segment, what did they do? How did they commemorate?
They just had names written down on the
table.
Isn't
that sad? That
it really is.
Your contemporaries are no longer amongst us?
It's sad. I mean, a lot of heart attacks and suicide and drugs. Gosh.
So you're saying that on every table they had a list of people?
There was a table on the side of the yearbooks and stuff.
That's a little better.
And then there were Twix bars all over the place. I'm like, what's with the Twix bars?
To make you feel better?
I don't know. I didn't get that at all. And then somebody said, I think they were invented in 1979.
Oh, possible, I guess.
Okay, all
right. Well, there should have been some little label on that, too.
Well, I don't know. It was cute. It was very cute.
Yeah, but if you didn't get it, it wasn't really that cute.
Well, they had to explain it. But anyway, it was very nice.
Was there dancing?
No dancing.
Wendy, Sam wants me to mention this. 18-6, that's the final. I can't do sports all through the show, Sam. I'm going to do my best. So, Mary, where was this? Was this local, this reunion, or did you have to travel for this?
No, it was in Lombard.
Oh, it was.
Yes, I graduated in Villa Park.
Did the little people come and dance or anything?
The ones with the big heads?
Yeah. The ones you can get at a wedding.
Who wants that at a wedding or a baby shower or bat mitzvah?
They're very popular.
The people who run the little company.
Entertainment. It was just talking and taking pictures. It was very nice.
I got to figure out when our reunion is, because I was class president, and I think I'm supposed to...
Oh, that's part of your duty, then.
I don't have duties.
Well, that was a big mystery at ours, because our class president, we're not sure if he's passed or not.
Did you look on the list? Memoriam list?
Nobody can find the guy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's...
Did you do the prison thing?
I was at his wedding, and I don't know where he went.
Mayor, why wouldn't they do what they do at the Academy Awards or the Emmys and have a giant projector with all the kids' pictures, formerly kids, now
that
adults,
really
now
sad.
No longer adults, and Alicia Keys could have sang something. That would have been fantastic.
I was talking to Dave Schwann, and he told me that every year at his class reunion, or every 5 years, whatever, they read the list, and he has to read them.
Oh.
Poor Schwanny. Yeah, I go, well, that's nice.
There's a website that I went to Oak Forest High School, and Oak Forest has a website where you can go, and it always posts your classmates who have died. And boy, does that make for a sad afternoon.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'll check
not
in every
pleasant.
Once in a while, and I'm like, oh, no. This is horrible.
Not on there yet. Thank goodness.
No, that's what I'm checking for.
So I guess why you said congratulations,
because
I'm still here.
You're still amongst us.
Okay.
That's good news.
I miss high school. I really do.
Do you? What do you miss about high school?
It was just easy.
You can still go.
No, I can't.
Come on. Audit a class or two. It'll be fun.
Even just to drop something off at school for my kids, you have to leave your license. It's like kind of a big deal.
Aren't you one of those distinguished alum people? At your high school?
At my high school, yeah, but my kids don't go to that high school. So I could drop lunch off for another kid. They'd let me in, no problem. Hey, I'm on the wall
of
fame.
You should do that. I don't know these children, but here's a list of kids that could probably use a corn dog. Just tell them this is my compliments.
It's already heated.
On me. All right, so getting back to the Bears for just a second, if I may. I know that Mitch Trubisky got injured. I know Chase Daniel came in and did a decent job, and they won the game. But what do they do going forward? They don't know how long Mitch Trubisky will be out for, do they?
Is it a dislocated shoulder? Do we know that for sure yet?
I don't know if anyone has said exactly. I saw the video. They bent him in a way you don't want to be bent.
I feel really bad for him. I always feel bad for the underdog, sure. But it's like, you know, oh, he's out, crap, but then...
And what a paid day off he had, though.
Yeah.
Chase did an okay job.
Yeah.
And it's his left shoulder, so it's not his throwing shoulder.
I would still think...
It's his handing off shoulder, which is what we need more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
And how about Joe Maddon? I have a theory, like everyone else. Didn't Ricky Renteria come from the Cubs? What if Joe Maddon goes to the White Sox and bing, bang, boom?
Well,
World Series. Dave Ennett has joined us, and he's shaking his head no.
I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
This it's a
you would develop a complex if it happened to you twice in the same city.
Same guy?
Yeah. Every time you turn around, you go, why is Joe Maddon following me? What's going on with that?
I don't see that happening. Yeah, we still don't know anything definitive on Trubisky. So maybe later today, Matt Nagy will speak at noon. So Adam Hogue will be all over that, and we'll see if
you've seen a lot of similar plays to this one. From what you saw, Dave, does it look like the kind of thing where you could be out for weeks or for the season? Is it hard to tell? It's hard to say.
I think it's hard to say. I mean, I think there are people who probably would try to give you an answer to that.
Yeah.
And say, he's going to be out for 6 months.
But you don't know. Everyone heals differently.
I think there are people who are actually trained to actually identify the kind of injury it is and how to treat
really?
It.
Really? When did that happen?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's weird, but I'm going to leave it up to them.
All right.
There are people trained to manage baseball teams, too, but we don't let them do that.
that's true.
Ouch.
Were you surprised Joe Maddon's parting comments, although jovial,
right.
He did get a dig in or two at the media, didn't he?
Well, I don't know if it was so much a dig, I guess, at his critics.
Yeah.
And we played it a little earlier. I to me, it was kind of more he was sort of having a little fun with it, but just saying, you all think I'm just coming up with bringing flamingos in and magicians and jugglers and stuff, and I actually know what I'm doing.
Right.
And
right.
I think that kind of the way things have gone in the past year, I think people kind of lost sight of just how good a manager this guy has been. And I do believe that people are going to look back on this era and say, man, remember when Joe Maddon was here?
Yeah.
Just like people look back on Mike Ditka. But you know,
this one surprised me. I'm probably the only one. I mean, I think Joe Maddon thought it was coming too.
I think he did. I think he's sincere, and maybe he would have wanted to come back if they had wanted him back. But I also think he's the kind of guy who is okay with the way things worked out.
Dave, if somebody presented a scenario, not just to the Cubs, but to any franchise in any sport, and said, we've got a guy that'll come in, and 4 years out of five, he will bring you great success. In one of those 5 years, ultimate success, a World Series or whatever the championship is, who wouldn't take that? In any sport would take that.
No question. Yeah. I mean, he came in, he set the right tone. He got guys to play up to their potential.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then what happened?
That hasn't quite happened. Well, but I think, you know, Wendy, it happens. There are different things that happened the last few years, but I do think that it happens to every winning team at some point. It's just...
There's an ebb and flow to sports.
I mean, at 17, remember the first half, they really didn't play very well, and everybody's, well, that's just the hangover from what happened last year, from the World Series. Then they go into the playoffs. They get hot in the second half, got red hot in the second half. They go into the playoffs. They get down to Washington, and they have to come back. What, they had to win three straight, right, to win the series.
Yes.
I mean, things like that. They get to the NLCS for a third straight year. Success the Cubs had not had in our lifetimes.
Right. Right.
Some of the names being bandied about, Joe Girardi, Dave Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, I want you to comment on that, because every time something opens, we go for these sort of obvious picks, people who have been involved in one way or another, like
Steve
Dave
Bertrand.
Ross. I mean, I just think those names are easy names that I don't think we should depend on. Joe Girardi? When's the last time Joe Girardi managed?
Well, he's been out a couple of years.
A few years ago,
He's been out a couple of years. Look, he's a great manager.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he would do a great job. David Ross kind of fits the mold of what a lot of teams are doing now. They're taking guys who first of all, the one thing that Ross and Girardi have in common, they're both former catchers.
Right.
And that seems to be something that it's been kind of a track record for success. Guys who are former catchers have a good feel for pitchers.
So catchers do it better. That's their
bumper sticker. Wendy says catchers do it better. Yeah,
and David Ross was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, right. And that's another trend among managers.
Yeah.
So maybe Christy Brinkley could be the manager.
Could be. I think
then
that
her daughter will take over.
Yeah,
I think the Ross thing makes, just as there was a lot of smoke about Madden not coming back, and there was fire there.
Right.
There's been a lot of smoke about David Ross being the next guy. You've got all the players saying, hey, yeah, we like
They're
Rossi.
Familiar with him. They like him.
Grandpa right. Rossi. But I think a lot of teams have gone to guys who aren't experienced as managers but mm-hmm. know the game, and they've had some success with that.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't think anyone should
Will
be shocked.
Will the Cubs make their announcement soon?
So, Bill, that's exactly what I was saying. It'll probably be David Ross or Joe Girardi.
Yeah, those two. One of those two.
I said that. No, I want credit for that.
I was saying I didn't think it was likely, but obviously
I don't know if it is, Steve. I mean, it could be a smokescreen, but there's just a lot there that makes sense.
Yeah. And Girardi was in a similar situation in New York that Madden was in Chicago, where they won quite a bit, and then as soon as the winning stopped, they go, we got to get rid of this.
Or they need a fresh voice.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that, now they approached Girardi several years ago.
Right.
And at the time, he didn't want to take his kids out of school in the New York area, and he didn't want to leave the Yankees at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his personal situation has changed. Look, this is home or close to home. He grew up a Cubs fan. Went to Northwestern.
So you'd probably get a coaching job with the Cubs, I'm guessing.
I'm counting on that. Well, Mark Loretta, who's been their bench coach this year, also a Northwestern guy, he's been mentioned also as a possible man.
I like that Joe Girardi didn't take it because of family reasons. That is, the world is changing. Family is family.
He's a quality guy, and I think that's one of the decisions. If Ross were to be able to offer the job, he said, I've got the family, I got to decide. Because, look, if you're going to manage, I mean, Madden has older kids, right? But if you want to manage, it's a demanding job.
I have an idea. This might be a dark horse, but I just want you to listen
to
me.
Who is it, Steve?
I'm thinking Christian Yelich.
Christian Yelich, Dave. Right. What do you think?
Well, let me finish.
Oh, all right.
Okay. He certainly knows the game.
Yes.
He can play the game well.
Yes.
And if we hire him, right, he couldn't play for the Brewers and manage the Cubs.
So in other words, conflict of interest. The priority here is to take away the best player from one of your rivals.
Thanks for explaining it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea. Thank you.
I don't think that's happening.
No?
No.
All right. You don't know.
Although the Brewers manager, I think you'd take him if you
maybe.
Get him.
Yeah,
Craig
Counsell.
Craig Counsell's done a great job with that.
All right, Dave, thank you very much for shedding light on this. Can Dave stick around and we can talk about what happened with the Bears?
Yeah,
is that all right,
baby.
Dave? Are you good?
I'd be honored.
All right, stick around. More discussion with Dave. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. The Bears beat the Minnesota Vikings. Very exciting game, apparently.
Well, people didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah. Yep.
And now what is our record, our standing,
Dave? 3-1.
3-1.
Tied for first with Green Bay.
Green Bay Packers.
Looky here. That's all I have to say.
Wendy says looky here to that, Dave. That's her answer to that.
Can we find out about the backup quarterback that jumped in for Mitch Trubisky?
Chase Daniel?
Yes. I don't know much about him.
Chase Daniel's been around for a while. Chase Daniel was pretty highly regarded coming out of the University of Missouri, where actually he beat Northwestern in overtime in a bowl game a number of years ago when he was at Missouri. He was
Do you hold a small grudge? I bet you do.
You should. Yeah, I was really sorry to see him end up here.
Yeah.
No, he's bounced around a little bit in the NFL. He's been pretty much a backup through most of his career.
Yeah.
What I think ends up happening with quarterbacks in the NFL, if they survive to that point in their career and they're able to stay employed,
right?
Basically,
yeah.
Whether it's as in a backup role or whatever, I think they reach a certain point where things kind of click in for them, and they're able to step into situations like he did yesterday.
How did they prepare differently for Week 5, knowing that Chase Daniel will be helming the team as opposed to Mitch Trubisky?
Well, if in fact, and that's the assumption.
Oh, that, well, yeah.
I mean, Trubisky hasn't been ruled out yet, but I think that seems likely that he would be.
Yeah.
Has Chase Daniel been preparing? I mean, I know he was just thrown in there cold. Obviously, yeah, there's practice, but
he's ready, but he's not getting as many reps as the starter is. Now he's getting reps, first team reps in practice.
Yeah.
And now he's preparing to start. I do think these guys understand when he's been around as long as he has and seen as much, he knows that you have to prepare for a situation like yesterday. To go in on the seventh play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's guys get hurt and get knocked out of a game, but you don't see it happen that often where it's just at that point in the game where all of a sudden fans are still coming in and all of a sudden you're the quarterback now. But I think they get to that point where he's prepared. Now he's got this full week to prepare, assuming that Trubisky's out. He's got the whole week and a flight to England.
Right, there's that, too.
Hello.
So, and they play on the opposite side of the field in England, don't they?
That is
correct.
So you've
got to take that into account also.
Yes.
And Chase Daniel has received a lot of pay for a little play from the ChicagoTribune.com. Mm-hmm. Some say a seldom-used backup quarterback is the greatest job in sports.
A lot of people believe that because, look, you don't get hit all that much.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily... Now, if you want to play, it's not necessarily the best job.
Right.
But you're making very good money for maybe getting a few snaps here or there when a game's sort of out of hand.
We had a lot of injuries yesterday, some key injuries. Kyle Long was out with an exposed groin. No one saw that coming.
Oh, we can't play your Joe Madden stuff anymore. Oh, dang, gone.
We cannot. But is this something that should be a concern going forward, or is it just part of the game?
Well, I think it's part of the game. I think it's always a concern. The Roquan Smith situation, the Bears have been very close-mouthed about it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens with him, whether he's going to make the trip over to England, personal reasons. He was inactive for the game yesterday. Akeem Hicks didn't play because of a knee injury.
Right.
So you have a couple defensive starters out, and you still mash Minnesota.
How about that?
I mean, that's what's
very exciting.
To me is pretty impressive.
He has a Super Bowl ring.
That's good news.
As an undrafted rookie. God, I like Sammy working with us today
because
he's into sports and he gives me all this information.
Dave, thank you for helping us out with this, with figuring out what's going on in the world of sports. We really appreciate it.
Well, we've only scratched the surface. So
stick around and sing the jingle with us.
I will.
All right. More in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
There's no commercial break.
There's
I
no
told
commercial
you
break.
That. I wanted to talk about his Super Bowl ring as a free agent. He won, all this stuff on, he considers Drew Brees like a brother, Chase Daniel does.
Yeah.
I just like that he's getting paid for a backup position. That's pretty good.
It's the best position in sports. Right
it
there.
Really is. It's the best position because, first of all, they let you in for free. You get to watch a football game for free every week. Nobody charges you.
Good seat.
You get a good seat. They pay you to be there. You might get in. You might not get in.
Two of his four career starts came last season for the Bears.
And one of them was good and one of them was not very good.
50-50. Yeah. That's how we roll, right? That's
true. Yeah, we're about 50, sometimes a little bit below that. Who's the third string quarterback for the Bears, Dave?
You.
Is it me?
Yesterday was Tariq Cohen.
Was it really?
Well, he was the emergency quarterback because you have a third quarterback who is inactive.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Bears make a move in
They'll
that
pick
area
somebody
to
up.
get an experienced backup if Trubisky is going to be out for an extended period.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy, someone said, I think it might have been Jim Nantz of the Brook. You know, Nagy was a college quarterback.
Wouldn't that be a hoot to see the coach show
that
suit
wouldn't
up?
Happen. That wouldn't happen. But I think Tariq Cohen, they said, was the emergency
quarterback
yesterday.
Wasn't there, maybe even on the same drive where Trubisky got injured, wasn't there a time where Chase Daniel almost got injured as well? I heard that referenced more than once yesterday that if he had been injured in that same drive, then you got trouble.
Then
I guess
you got problems.
Then
yeah,
that's
then
when Tariq Cohen comes in.
Problems. So fortunately, they kept him generally upright.
Okay, that's good.
And Tariq Cohen is only 5'6". How is he going to see to throw? But
they won't see him, Mary. See, yes.
Right.
He's going to borrow shoes from Elton John.
Funny story about that, though.
He's so
According
good,
to
though.
Shea Pepper, when he was on the sidelines and got told that he was the emergency quarterback, he actually went up to the actual backup would be Trey Burton after Tariq Cohen saying, hey, I don't know what to do. I'm pretty worried. Like, can you go in if I have to? I don't want to go in. So that was a little cool insight from Shea.
That's what I love about the Bears. You never know what's happening next.
They make the most of it. Yeah.
All right. Still to come today. In fact, after the news, there are some horrifying facts that I read on the old internet.
Yeah.
And they kind of scare me, and I think you will gasp.
Oh.
You and the listeners will gasp.
Make
so
me
we'll,
gasp.
We'll share that after the 10:30 news. Welcome to our dance party.
How are you making the paddles in the floor light up, Wendy? I've never seen that option before. That's fantastic.
I'm a techno wizard.
Wow, you're good.
I have some freaky facts that I found on the internet, and it says that maybe you don't want to know some of these.
Oh.
But that's what piqued my curiosity even more.
Sure.
These are scary. Are you sitting down?
What is your? I'm standing up. Should I sit down? What's your goal in this? What are you hoping to do?
To freak people out.
Yeah? All right. Good luck.
All right.
They have a very high freak tolerance, you know. It takes a lot to freak me out, so see what you got.
I have a few. I'll bet you will start freaking out.
I'm ready.
Maybe after the first one.
All right.
All right. There are over 250,000 deaths a year due to medical error.
In the world or where?
How does that make
in
you
Cook
feel?
County? Where? What would the boundaries be?
I think it's the world.
In the
That's
world?
Over 684 deaths a year due to medical error per day. 684 per day.
I'm not freaked out, but I'm uncomfortable with it.
All right, I'll get you to freak out. Did you know fir trees, which are Christmas trees, can grow in human lungs?
I don't think that's true. How does that happen?
A 28-year-old patient inhaled the seed of a fir tree. I don't know if it was for fun or by accident.
Obviously for fun.
Which had sprouted and grown in his lung. Doctors thought they were dealing with a tumor, and they were stunned when they made the discovery that it was a fir tree.
He had a fir tree growing inside of him? Oh, I'm not freaked out, but I'm uncomfortable.
All right, we'll get there.
All right.
We'll get you to freak out.
It doesn't happen a lot, right?
No. I had a piece of lettuce in my lung. Do you remember that?
No.
I was eating a salad, and I coughed and breathed in at the same time, and I got a piece of lettuce in my lung.
Oh.
And I went to the doctor, and they put me on an antibiotic because...
I should have put you on raspberry vinaigrette.
A drip.
Bagel bits.
Because it could get infected in there.
Oh,
it was
no.
a foreign matter, a piece of lettuce. I inhaled it, and it just went the wrong way or the right way.
Ugh.
Well, how did it get in your lung? I don't think it could get in your lung.
Because I breathed in while I coughed, I don't know, but it was in there. They didn't do an x-ray, but they assumed that's what could have happened. I mean, it hurt. I felt
it. Oh, it would have to hurt. This is a story from a while ago, right? One of my mom's aunts was cooking food, and she cut her finger and somehow got part of a pasta noodle in her finger and couldn't get it out.
Was it orzo? Because that's like real tiny.
Yeah, it was orzo.
Rice-shaped pasta.
Later on that night, she was taking a bath, a hot bath, and the noodle expanded in her finger and created a horrible, like, lump on her finger. Like, she had a big noodle in her growing in her finger.
And the skin probably started healing over it, so did she have to get it lanced and removed?
I don't know how it ended up. We never spoke of it again. Like, once that happened, we never talked to her again.
Just started calling her Aunt Risotto.
Did you call...
Antipasta.
Did you call Chef Boyardee to help out?
He came in and helped with the surgery, yeah. Isn't that crazy, though? Like,
I'm
she thought nothing
you,
of it when it happened, but...
If they don't come up with a sitcom about your family...
Nah, no one would believe it.
It is so weird that none of this stuff...
Yeah.
It feels like Hollywood writers have to make this stuff
no,
up because
it really
it's
happened.
So out there.
It really happened.
That's weird.
Yeah.
There's a 1 in 3 chance police will never identify your killer if you're murdered in the United States.
Oh, that's a cheery thought.
NPR.
1 in 3?
Yep. NPR reports that criminologists estimate that at least 200,000 murders have gone unsolved since the 1960s.
How can that be? That's a high. That's a very. I would never have guessed 1 in 3. My guess would have been like 1 in 10, 1 in 12.
You freaking out yet?
1 in 3. Not yet. I'm close.
This one, I don't know if it bothers me. If the sun exploded right now, you wouldn't know for about another 8 minutes.
Yeah, but that's really bad news.
I know, but if the sun exploded,
yeah,
you wouldn't know. I guess you'd get an alert.
Yeah, you get a text message.
And then you'd just sit there in fear for 8 minutes.
8 minutes, 8 long minutes.
The energy from the explosion would be traveling at the speed of light, which means it would take 8 minutes and 20 seconds to travel from the sun to the earth. 20% of children report hearing voices, so that may explain an imaginary friend.
Oh, wait, say that one.
Puzzled.
That one's puzzling to me. Say that again.
20% of children report hearing voices at some point in their life.
Yeah, again, I'm not freaked out by it, but it's unsettling.
All right, I have more. Thomas Hargrove, a homicide archivist, estimates that there are over 2,000 serial killers at large right now.
Oh my God.
How many?
2,000.
Yep.
Wow.
Anyone we know? Is there a list? Read the list.
I have some suspects on my list.
But there would be.
There are about 40 super volcanoes around the world capable of claiming up to 1 billion lives, and we're about 24,000 years overdue for an eruption.
Ah.
They've been saying that. The last time one in, was it Hawaii that erupted,
yes,
or it was somewhere else,
yeah,
and they said we're overdue.
When we were in Costa Rica, the place that we stayed at in Costa Rica there was a volcano that was, I don't know, 4 miles from where we were, that had erupted sometime in the 50s or the 60s. And they kept saying it's due to erupt again at some point, but nobody seemed panicked by it.
No, because they wanted the tours.
That's right. I know. You're right. It all comes down to
it
that.
It could happen today.
But that's what they were selling, was the danger of being so close to it. But I kind of thought I would go the opposite
route.
And go, no, it's safe. Believe me.
One supervolcano in Yellowstone National Park has a magma chamber that could comfortably fit the entire city of Tokyo in it.
Mm.
This next one freaks...
I have a magma chamber, but it's much smaller.
There's a brain-eating amoeba that lives in lakes and rivers of the southern United States.
Well, that's actually, that's been in the news.
I know.
That's
so that's why I'm saying these, this one scares me.
Can I go back to one from a little while ago,
yes,
that's still in my mind? You mentioned that 1 in 5 kids.
20%.
20% of kids hear voices,
yes,
at some point. There was a story about a week or so ago that some woman wrote that when her mother reached a certain age, she would hear children's laughter all the time. She could, like, wherever she was, she kept hearing kids laughing, and they would look around and they go, there's nobody around. There's no little kids here, and nobody's laughing. And then the woman who wrote about it had just hit the age that her mother started hearing it, and she was hearing the same thing. That wherever she would go, she'd be driving along in the car, and she would hear kids laughing, and there weren't any other kids in the car. Isn't that freaky?
All right, I was supposed to freak you out, and you in turn
I turned
have
the table.
Yes, you did.
I turned the table, the freak table on you.
Man, that
what,
is
how
bizarre.
Do you explain
I
that?
I don't know. This is really scary. This one freaked
this
me out.
This one is scary? What is it?
This was the major freak out.
I'm ready.
Sudden arrhythmic death syndrome is a condition where someone seemingly healthy dies suddenly with no apparent cause of death. No cause of death can be found in about 1 in 20 cardiac deaths.
It's what are they, so how do they write it on the death certificate? What do they say? Just natural causes?
Yeah, they don't have.
And there's no explanation at all. I don't like that one. Throw that one away.
All right.
That one's uncomfortable for me.
Do you like to kiss?
Wendy, yes. I have to leave early some days.
Are you? I mean, with another person.
No.
And
it gets messy.
Over 80 million bacteria can be exchanged in one kiss.
If it's really good. You have to work at it, but you can pull it off.
Those who are in a long-term relationship are more likely to have the same type of microbiota present in their mouth. So you and Terry start coming up with
the same
bacteria.
But if you're kissing strangers,
yep,
then you got the transference of bacteria. You got to be careful. Wendy, I've told you this 1,000 times. Be careful who you kiss. Now more than ever. Draw up a list. Carry a list with you and only put the kisses on those people. Nobody else.
And I have two really scary ones, and we know some people who have had these, but can we take a break first?
Yep.
This is scary to
me. I've not been freaked out yet. You've come close three different times, but you've not freaked me out yet.
This makes me want to stay in bed all day, this next fast fact. This
and it's
freaky
not the kissing
fact.
One?
No.
I'm shocked. I'm so shocked. All right, more of this sort of behavior next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, something to freak you out. Yeah, boy, the vaping is not a good thing. But
put that on your list, Wendy, because that one did freak me out. The other one did not, but that one did.
This one will, and we know people that have had this happen to them. About 1 in 50 people in the United States currently have a brain aneurysm that just hasn't ruptured. That freaks me out. 1 in 50.
So what do we do about that?
There's nothing you can. That's about 6.5 million people. And a brain aneurysm ruptures about once every 18 minutes. 30,000 people suffer from ruptures each year. I know.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that one freaked me out more than anything
that's
in the world.
So far, that's the worst one.
And we know people who have suffered aneurysms and have come through it, and some I know that haven't.
Right.
This we already know. There are over 200 dead bodies on top of Mount Everest because retrieving them is such a risk. They serve as markers for other hikers.
Yeah, we were both aware. We've talked about that on the show. It's really one of the only...
I didn't know that till this year. I'm sorry.
I don't know why I knew it, but I've been hearing it for years that it's more of a risk to go up and try to claim those bodies and bring them down. So you sign a waiver if you're going to climb Mount Everest saying, if something happens to me, I understand I will be left there. It's very uncomfortable.
We were talking earlier. These are facts that will freak you out.
Sponsored by Jimmy John's? Or did they not take our sponsorship bid? Because it makes sense. I don't know why they wouldn't sponsor this, but okay.
There's a 1 in 3 chance police will never identify your killer if you're murdered in the United States. And Ted wants to talk about that. Ted, what's going on?
Not too much. By the way, I had trouble with that number of that last sponsor. Can you repeat that again?
9999999.
Go ahead.
Okay, good. Yes. And I know, Wendy, you're not going to like this. People see the humor in this. I don't know why the serial community is always under such threat with all the killers that are around for them, but that's a whole other issue. The thing with the murders that go unsolved is, how does CSI stay on here?
Well, see, that's right. So weird, because when I watch those TV shows, if writers can come up with those things and solve crimes, don't you think the real world can come up with that stuff and solve crimes?
It would seem to be so. I mean, you know, it's not necessarily advertising, but it seems like we're lacking. I mean, I know it's a story, but it's like we got to have a little better count on the accuracy here, because CSI seems to get it done every time, you know.
But then there are shows that are based on real cases, like 48 Hours and stuff like that, where they'll do like an hour long episode, and then at the end, they still don't know who the killer is. They show you that whole hour of who the suspects are,
right?
And then you go, I can't wait to find out who killed that guy. And then at the end, they say police are still working on the case. Oh, come on, show me who killed the guy.
No fulfillment.
No.
Right. Technically, it's an incomplete show, but they haven't showed you, you know, what's coming next week.
Right, that's true.
Ted, are any of these facts freaking you out?
Well, when Bill was talking about the pasta getting in the finger, I had a little experience with something getting in my finger. It wasn't pasta, but it was like, yeah, I don't. That feeling was no fun. But,
old pasta hands. All right. Ted, thank you for calling. We have some that might freak you out, but really, I tried to freak you out, and it came back to freak me.
Yes.
This is something you have been saying for so many years that I had to include this
in
here.
It?
When you die, your house cat is going to want to eat you.
Yeah.
I mean,
you didn't know that until now?
No, and if your cat doesn't, your gut flora might start taking over your body and colonizing your internal organs.
Yeah.
So another reason to take Healthy Trinity.
Well, right. That's a reason to get a cat. You wouldn't want that second one to happen.
I don't know if I believe that. Although, come on, you hear people that... Shut up, Bertrand.
I mean, given a choice, really, wouldn't you rather your cat get a good meal out of
it? You don't think cats are always trying
plotting against
you? Yeah, anytime you see a cat, I mean, honestly... They're always trying to figure out what has to happen for me to kill my owner. I know that sounds horrible, but I believe it.
I think dogs would be the ones, because dogs are
more
carnivorous.
Loyalty. Yeah, but,
but if you're
loyalty.
Dead, you're not feeding them. They need to eat.
See, that maybe that's the difference, is that dogs will only eat you once you're dead. I think a cat would just eat you when you were sleeping. A cat would just go, here's my chance.
Maybe.
You don't think so?
Maybe. Dogs are more loyal. You're right.
Yeah.
Horned toads can squirt blood out of their eyes.
Ugh. I'll say the world.
There are some moths out there that drink human blood. Vampire moths feed on the blood of mammals, including humans. They can suck blood for up to 50 minutes.
So well, that's not, I mean, that's a mosquito.
Yeah.
A moth is bigger. And there's some giant moth going around Chicago. Have you had one?
We had one in the house.
In the house?
Yeah.
I swear to God, it is probably...
It's like a hummingbird.
Without exaggeration, at least 3 or 4 inches big. Wingspan.
One of my jobs, being the only guy in our house, is anytime there's a bug somewhere in the house, I get the call, you know, and usually it's just a little spider. But Reese called me into her room about a week ago and said, you won't believe the size of this bug. And it was a moth.
Yep.
But it kept hitting the ceiling. And it. I'm serious. It's like the size of a hummingbird.
It's the biggest thing ever. Yeah. And it's going around.
I've not seen one until this year. But they're very unnerving.
It's not a vampire one. That one could suck your blood.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully we have freaked you out. If not, stay tuned because the rest of the show might.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening right here at WGN. All right. Still to come, Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune will be with us at 11:30. I have a couple more gross facts to freak you out.
Go for it.
On average, you secrete 26 gallons of sweat into your bed per year.
Oh, that's nice.
And if you have a foam mattress like I do,
right.
It's really sucking in there.
Yeah.
And if you're having hot flashes, it's another story.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it would be double for women.
Oh, yeah.
The air you breathe in a train station is 15% human skin.
Why? I'm just curious why they chose a train station. Wouldn't that be true of anywhere you were?
Well,
why a train station?
Did you ever see those floating specks in a sunbeam?
Yeah.
They're 80%
human skin?
Are also skin.
But there's nothing going on behind the scenes at a train station
no.
that we should be aware of.
All and right. finally, just to gross you out, speaking of skin, you will shed about 40 pounds of it in your lifetime. So finally, I will match the weight on my driver's license.
Actually, it's 50 if you ride the train every day.
That's a good point.
No one can explain why.
All right. Like I said, Eric Zorn will be with us shortly, and we've got a bunch of magic that we'll do on this show, but news is now.
Thank you, Steve. As mentioned, Eric Zorn will join us in about 25 minutes. We'll talk about stuff that Eric Zorn likes to talk about in 25 minutes. It was the 45th season premiere of Saturday Night Live on Saturday. Wendy, did you watch the show?
Bill, I did. I couldn't wait for it.
Yeah.
I was...
And?
Listen, I love the show. I'm going to keep watching it.
Uh-huh.
There were some good points, some bad points.
Yeah.
I thought Alec Baldwin was finished doing Donald Trump.
That had been rumored, but he came back. He opened the show as Donald Trump.
And Billie Eilish?
Yes.
I knew of her. I know Elif, the producer for John Williams' show, loves Billie Eilish.
Yes.
I didn't know much about her. I watched it. At first, I was not thinking I was going to be into it. But then as I thought it was pretty incredible entertainment the way she was walking on walls and stuff.
That was amazing.
I mean, that was pretty good.
Do you know where they got that, by the way?
It happened before, but I can't remember.
For people who didn't see it, she starts out, she's singing a song in a room that looks a little compact.
Yeah.
Right? And as the song progresses, she goes from the floor, she starts walking up one of the walls, and then as the song goes on more, she's walking on the ceiling, and then she's walking on the other wall, and then back to ground zero.
Can I guess?
Yes, Steve?
I don't know. We said there'd be magic on our show.
Yes.
Was it Drake?
Well, originally, the first time that technique was used that I know of was Fred Astaire in the movie Royal Wedding 1,000 years ago.
Oh, there was someone else on SNL
that also did that?
Yeah, but I can't. You might be right,
Bertrand. So the way that they do it, should I tell you?
Listen, they pulled back and I saw that it was its own self-contained little cubicle room.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, it just moved, but then the camera didn't move.
The camera is in a fixed position. You could kind of tell when you saw it. It's mystifying when you watch it because it doesn't make sense because it's done so fluidly. It looks like she's dancing on the walls and the ceilings if done properly, and it was done really well. So they used the same exact technique that they used all the way back then, which is a fixed camera that rotates along with the room. The room goes in a perfect circle, she times it. If you watch it, she times it.
Yeah, you can tell
so
she leans against the wall.
Leaning until the circle makes its revolution, and then she does a little bit of time there. It's a great special effect. I mean, it's very jarring to watch.
It was super cool, and I know that I can hear people, Nick DiGilio, as I was reading on Facebook, he was not impressed with her. Who is this?
Listen, well, I'll tell you something that I think will impress you.
I know what
you
it
know
is.
How old she is?
17
she's
years
17
old.
Years old.
I mean,
and she's been doing this for 3 years already.
Her mom is an actor who was on Another World or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she was in various other things, because I was just intrigued by her.
Yeah.
And really, at first, it was just kind of low and slow, and it's like, I don't know. But then I got sucked in with the revolving room,
right.
And then I'm like, this is really catchy.
Yeah.
And then the second song was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go see a whole show, but I don't know. I have to see what else she has. But that's her brother. She writes her own songs. Her brother was playing guitar and he had a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
It's like 17 years old, Nick DiGilio.
It's impressive regardless of her age, but when you find out she's only 17 and she's doing this, she's really talented. I can't even say it's an acquired taste. My daughters have been listening to her for years, and when I first heard her, I thought, oh, this is interesting. Then I saw her, and I went, wow, it's even more interesting. And she does quirky things like she'll pick out an outfit that she'll wear, and then the whole band will wear a version of that, and it changes on Saturday it changed on both songs. But there's a lot going on. She has a very peculiar way of presenting herself and her music. And I liked it. I thought it was really interesting.
I did,
you know?
Too. And, you know, being an old F, and you can choose. It's not the swear part of it, but I didn't want to say the other one.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I get turned on to new stuff by opening my mind. And
yes.
I watched it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed her very much.
Right.
And I had read. Then, of course, I do my research work. That's when I found out, oh, my God, she's only 17. And she said she's going to stop wearing baggy clothing when she turns 18, which is coming up in December.
In December.
You read the same article?
No, I just know because I thought, hasn't she been 17 for a while? I had to look that part up because I thought when my daughters first started listening to her, I thought she was 17 then, but she was only 15 then.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
I know.
But so the big baggy outfit I was looking at, she and her brother were wearing, that's a big baggy Gucci outfit. Now, I know a Gucci purse costs thousands of dollars.
Right.
I can't imagine what all that material would cost.
She needs to budget her money. This is my advice to her. Budget your money carefully, Billy. I know you're only 17, but every time you go into Gucci, you can't buy matching outfits for everyone in your band. It's going to cost you.
Thankfully, it was just she and her brother on that one, but the whole band.
Right.
It was very unique. And, you know, listen, I'm a rocker. I like drums. I like guitar solos. I like rock and roll.
Right.
But I really was intrigued by her.
It's a very unique sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. All right, from a comedy standpoint, you got not one but two opening scenes. I don't know if you read this. They always write a scene that they know is going to open the show. And this week, they had two that they liked and they decided, well, let's just run them back to back. So you had the Donald Trump making a bunch of phone calls to people.
About his
impeachment. Then you also had, yeah.
And then what was the next?
The second one was all the Democratic candidates.
Oh, that
candidates.
Was really funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed both. Both were funny. The second one was funnier. Maya Rudolph showing up as Kamala Harris. Very, very funny.
And she was dead on.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Mannerisms, voice, everything.
Yep.
And Marianne Williams.
That's right. That's the new
girl.
One of the new girls playing that.
What's her name?
Chloe Fineman.
Very good because the guy.
And she's 11, by the way. Did you know that?
How old's Beanie Feinstein?
3. Hollywood is young now, Wendy. It's not like it used to be. Everyone's
young. She was very good with her impression.
Yeah.
And I just was mad at us because we remembered the other guy's name who was bounced from the show. But now I can't remember his name again. So
his name is Shane Gillis.
All right.
And on Friday, you weren't here Friday, but we all took bets that Saturday Night Live would address that situation with Shane Gillis being on the show for 4 days and then being banned from the show. And it never came up because I thought, well, maybe during update, they'll do something. They'll bring Pete Davidson in because he's the guy that always does whatever is going on at the time behind the scenes. But there was no mention of Shane Gillis. Bowen Yang is the third new cast member. He played Andrew Yang in what I think is the first time in SNL history that a guy played a character who had the same last name that he does in real life.
I don't think
that's
right.
ever happened before.
And he was very good, but I don't know. My favorite was Colin Jost doing Pete Buttigieg.
A very fast Pete Buttigieg. They didn't linger on that.
I don't think it could have lingered.
Right.
But what
right.
I saw
just
made me chuckle.
Do it quickly and move on. But the show overall, there was a scene later on where everybody kind of laughed a lot because somebody who was supposed to help with the wardrobe was seen on camera. So,
oh my God, I had to go back and rewatch that because they were showing production pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened? The stage hand didn't realize she was early?
Yes. Early or late. The scene centered on, it was a roundtable discussion. And it kind of time traveled. It went. They kept showing clips of themselves from years ago. So that meant you had to change the costumes of the characters.
Uh-huh.
And then at some point, you just had the wardrobe lady coming out trying to help Adie Bryant, and they couldn't recover from that.
They so could not recover.
I know. I'm always mixed on that stuff because it is really funny. I know that Lorne Michaels, who produces the show, hates when that happens.
It also happened with Kate McKinnon and Adie Bryant when they were doing the apple orchard thing, too.
Where they kind of broke.
Yeah, and I like to see it. I really do. But professional-wise, it's not
good.
If
it happens once in a while, it's okay. But when you think about it, like the most memorable moments of Carol Burnett's show were when Harvey Korman and Tim Conway couldn't stop laughing. That's like the best part of the show.
And that happened an awful lot.
Almost every week.
I mean, wasn't it brought out in public that they were just trying to crack each other up?
Yeah. Tim Conway said many times that was his thing to do. What can I do to make Harvey laugh during the show? So I'm good with it to a point. You know, if it's genuine, why not?
And that was genuine because you got somebody trying to grab your jacket off of you. That would be funny.
Right.
The apple orchard one, they should have put those funnies into the sketch.
Maybe.
Woody Harrelson, Maybe. Not as good as I expected.
Oh, you didn't like him?
I did, and I do, but I just, I don't
His
know.
His interpretation of Joe Biden was interesting. They've had, in the past... It was always Jason Sudeikis who played Joe Biden, and I don't know if because Woody was there, you go, we got to throw him in the sketch. He's the host of the show. But his version of Joe Biden was very interesting.
Now, I can't stop thinking about a little tidbit you gave us that Woody Harrelson's dad was perhaps involved with something. Now, you brought this up on our bonus hour, which we'd love you to join us at WGN Extra.
Yes.
That's what we're calling it, WGNradio.com.
Yeah.
You brought up that his dad...
Woody's father worked for the syndicate in Texas during the 60s. He was considered to be an expert marksman, and the theory has been brought about, not by me, but by people who study this sort of thing, that if you needed a guy to do a job like an assassination of a central figure, Woody Harrelson's dad would have been the guy you would have gotten. And he at some point said that he was the one who was the trigger man in the assassination, but then went on later on to say, no, I was high when I said that. I didn't mean it. I didn't kill him.
Those are fighting words, though. I mean, I don't care how high you are. You probably shouldn't be saying that.
Right.
All right. We have to take a quick break. And all in all, it was okay. I'm glad it's back.
Yeah. Well, Phoebe Waller-Bridge from Fleabag is hosting next week, so that should be interesting. And Eddie Murphy's coming up in a few weeks, so that's the first time he's done anything with them in years and years and years. So two highlights or potential highlights ahead for them.
What 17 or 15-year-old musician will be in?
I don't know. We'll have to watch for that.
All right.
All right. More ahead. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, I know in the past you've had a weird relationship with Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
Is that who this is?
Yeah. Yeah?
I'm okay with this song.
Oh, now you like him?
I don't like him. I just think, I don't know how they're so popular.
Well, I think this song is a good representation of why they're so popular. It's very catchy.
I watched, the only contact I had with him, and it was just via television, was on The Voice. Right. And I love The Voice, and he really loves himself.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
You think he's stuck up?
A little bit.
Do you? But like if you were, let's say you were driving along and in one of his songs, a Maroon 5 song came on the radio, would you listen to it for a little bit or would you just make those faces like, blah, blah, and change the channel? How would you react?
The latter.
That one? Even though like on that one, on that Hey, Hey, Hey Now Baby, you got excited. You started dancing. I saw you start dancing.
This one was okay. I'm not that familiar with their stuff, but it's just Mamby and Pamby.
Oh.
Weren't they married to Hef?
Yes.
Mamby and Pamby.
That you have to marry. Yes. All right. Well, Adam Levine has changed his look rather dramatically. Oh. Have you seen pictures of him?
No. I know he went to blonde hair.
He does this from time to time. He's a good looking guy. Mm. But every once in a while, you don't think so?
You're better looking.
Well, thank you, Wendy. That's very kind of you.
And I mean it sincerely.
Adam Levine has gotten himself a cornhawk.
Excuse me?
A cornhawk. This is a hairstyle that I was not familiar with until I saw that Adam Levine got one. It's a mohawk, but with cornrows. So think about if Mr. T and Bo Derek had a baby.
And they called it rock and roll.
It looks a little bit like Mr. T's mohawk, but very much like Bo Derek's cornrows from the movie 10. It's a very interesting combination.
How the heck old is he?
He is also 17. Like
he
Billie
wishes.
Eilish.
I mean, that's just, listen, coming from someone who had half her head shaved out in the 80s,
yes.
I had a long queue. It was a long braid like Amy Mann from Till Tuesday.
Yes.
I had some pink in my hair for a while. Yes.
These were all separate instances.
Yes. And
this
was
at the same time.
I wanted to express myself, and maybe I didn't mind the extra attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's doing.
But does Adam Levine need attention?
Listen to his music.
Low blow. Even Mamby and Pamby just texted me and said low. One said low, and the other said blow. That's
I
how
was surprised they both didn't say one word.
That's how Mamby and Pamby operate the text. he's a guy you wouldn't think would need attention because he fronts a very popular, mostly popular band, not popular at your house, but mostly popular band. He's got a TV show. He's in movies. He's everywhere.
What's
he's
the
Adam
TV
Levine.
Show?
Well, he's on The Voice, isn't he?
Didn't he quit?
Oh, did he? I don't know.
Yeah, I think
he might
did.
Have. I don't know. Adam Levine debuted a new hairstyle.
He's 40, by the way.
Is he? Yeah.
Come on.
That's too old for a cornhawk. What is the cutoff for cornhawks, do you think?
Pre-30.
30's the limit?
Yeah.
Adam Levine debuted a new hairstyle. It says it's his first do-over since he debuted the mohawk on The Voice. So he already, apparently, according to this, he had a mohawk.
Yeah, I saw it. It looks stupid.
Now, it says here he did that in April, so I think he's still on The Voice. Wendy.
Yeah, he's going to be leaving. That's what it is. I have him DVR'd.
To devote more time to braiding his hair?
Maybe.
He's got a guy who does that for him. He doesn't do his own cornhawking.
Is that when you sell
That was Stephen
corn?
Hawking's oh. brother who had
no,
his own ranch.
It's too soon.
I don't think it is. Last week, he revealed he's given the sides of his head a clean, close shave, bleached the top of his locks blonde, and put them in three cornrows down his head. He topped all that off with a rat tail that hangs to the nape of his neck. He must have lost a bet or something. You don't do this on purpose.
He does.
Yeah? But if you, again, I know what you're going to say. You don't find him attractive, but I think most people who know him do find him very attractive. Why would you mess with that? If you're looking good, there's no way he looked at himself and said, well, this is okay, but I bet if I had a cornhawk with a rat tail, that would be a better move than what I've got going now. That was bad judgment.
Sometimes when you're beautiful,
yes,
all the eyes looking at you is too much.
It's too much.
Sometimes you like to fall
back.
You want
to rat it up a little bit.
Well, the rat tail it up.
Yeah.
It looks so stupid. I mean, come on. You're a fan of Maroon 5.
I do like Maroon 5. I do. I think it's very... You don't think so? I think it's got a... It's a very catchy sound.
773 says Levine comes across so corporate, but then he tries to fight that image by doing wacky things like this.
Ah.
Ugh.
Well, there's something to that.
People on Twitter are not having
I'm reading all the Twitter comments. There's no good ones. Everybody on Twitter hates it. Even his most ardent fans are against it.
People aren't just throwing major shade. They're also saying that Levine may be going through a midlife crisis.
Oh, maybe. He's 40.
I thought 50 is the midlife crisis.
Oh. That's local.
Ooh, someone tweeted, Adam Levine, is everything okay at home?
That's the thing. You got to run that past your wife. You can't just show up with a haircut like this without checking in first, right? You got to say to her, I'm thinking about having this done. What do you think?
And doesn't he have kids?
He has at least one baby, yes.
He must be freaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably screaming when they see him.
They're kids. They probably go, Dad looks cool.
Oh, not a baby. Babies go, ah!
Maybe.
That's a good baby.
Just those tattoos. Oh, he's got them everywhere. His whole body.
I don't mind the tattoos.
You're okay with that part of Adam Levine. It's just the rest. But Mary, do you like him as a performer? You think he's a good artist?
Nah.
No?
It's just...
I was never a big Maroon 5
person. No?
It's just bland.
Hmm.
That's why I couldn't believe all the hoopla that they were playing the Super Bowl show.
Like,
and that was not good. Remember? That was a pretty bad appearance.
Most people didn't like it. I thought it was entertaining.
Were you with Mamby and Pamby?
Yes.
When you were watching that?
They had a plus one on their invite to the Super Bowl. They brought me.
Listen, anybody can do what they want, but it's just...
You say no, this is not working for Adam Levine. I think his more conventional look, the look that he's had for the most part of his career, has been a good look for him. I'm shocked that he would go this outrageous. Because it's so unnecessary. He's getting attention. Believe me, he's getting attention. He doesn't need the extra attention.
I guess he's not on The Voice. All I have to say is I have it DVR'd. I'm a few episodes behind. I'm watching my Kelly Clarkson, whom I've watched her talk show.
It's not good, is it?
We should have her on as a guest because I love her.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows what might happen with that show, but maybe I could hang out with her. She might have some free time. It's interesting. She wants to sing on every show because she's a singer.
Right.
I love her voice. I love her. She's so genuine, and I just think she has to get in the groove of it, you know?
Yeah, the show's still trying to find itself a little bit, right?
Someone said he's not on The Voice. Gwen Stefani is back, which, you know, the husband, they're not married, but Gwen and Blake Shelton are working together. And then this texter, 708, goes on to say, he's a rocker. Who cares about his hair? It's good to be different. If that's a rocker...
Oh, you got one last shot at him in. I didn't think you'd be able to pull that off, but you did.
He's a rocker with tennis balls on the end of it.
Oh.
He's not a rocker.
Oh, Wendy.
All right. We'll talk to Eric Zorn and see what he thinks about Adam Levine.
All right. He'll solve this once and for all.
It's okay. It's not terrible music, but it's nothing I would search out.
They're like in the same position that Coldplay was a couple years ago.
I hate Coldplay.
Where I know you do, but again, it's catchy pop music. I know you like stuff that's harder edged, right?
Yeah, I mean, just the Who, rock and roll, drums.
Yeah, well, right.
I mean, I liked synthesizers in the 80s when you were supposed to.
Yeah, not anymore.
No.
Whiskey and Zorn, Whiskey and Zorn, sounding his horn, hope is reborn.
Whiskey and Zorn, I kind of like that.
That's the 1-2 punch.
Hope is reborn, that's the key line.
Yes.
Did they say tooting his own horn? Is that in there?
I
don't think they did. That's in the extended cut. That's in the dance mix.
How are you, Eric?
Really
good to see you.
I'm really good. It's creepy. Crazy, freaky warm out. But,
yes, it is.
It's like October almost, right?
Tomorrow, I believe tomorrow will be October, and it's 80 degrees out.
There have been 80 degrees days in October.
Mm-hmm.
There really have and will be.
It's possible.
The seasons are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy's a denier. She's denying my freak out here.
Well, it's very disconcerting for her to see somebody so stable as yourself do that.
Yeah.
I understand. I get it.
She gets it.
Eric, here's a tradition we've been doing for quite a while. The Tweets of the Month.
I know that September is not quite over, and there may be some tweets that would belong in this list of the top 10 tweets.
They might sneak in at the last minute.
If there are later today, this is what the emergency broadcast system is for.
Right.
I will break into regularly scheduled programming and read those tweets.
Oh, but I hope that
as
happens.
As of right now,
yeah,
these are the top 10 tweets of the month. And they will be, we will link them off the Bill and Wendy page for the attributions and stuff, because I don't even know how to pronounce some of these attributions.
We still have roughly 12 and a half hours for things to change, but as of this moment.
Some hilarity might well ensue.
All right,
so you have to tell me if these are good. These are the top 10. By these are, and this is my opinion. This is not every week I do a poll of readers and ask them for their choice. I give them an option, but these are my choices.
Do your choices and the readers' choices usually sync up? Or usually
often not? There's one tweet in here that finished in last place with my readers, and I'll tell you which one.
I can't wait
reading it. Establish dominance over your therapist by saying no. Your time is up. If Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner taught me one thing, it's that when someone is mildly annoying, you should devote the remainder of your life to destroying them.
You know what I like about these so far? They're very aggressive. I don't remember two this aggressive right out of the box. Good.
I can't wait for the Toy Story sequel where the toys are just a couple of iPads talking to each other.
That one's sad. That made me sad.
Keep your friends close and the people who have photos of you from the 80s closer.
Did I send that one in?
Figure skating would be a lot more interesting if they replaced the ice with grass and the skaters with football players and they were playing football.
That's nice.
Some people complain that this is the hottest summer in the last 125 years, but I like to think of it as the coolest summer of the next 125 years.
Oh, very optimistic.
Glass is half full.
So optimistic.
I bet the hardest part of being a doctor is trying not to say, ew.
Oh, I am so with you. That's awesome.
In retrospect, I find it very easy to believe that Billie Jean was not his lover. At the very highest level of karate, they give you pants that fit, so you no longer need a belt.
Oh, that's funny. And good pronunciation on karate.
Thank you.
Very nice, Eric.
And that was the one, by the way, that finished in last place
among
my readers.
I know.
My
Why?
Readers. I don't know. I need to get better readers, I guess. More sophisticated readers. That's a great tweet. I love that.
You would think that something that might be borderline offensive would be the last one.
Well, people who do karate.
Yes.
The belts mean something.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe
I made it to orange belt and then I quit.
Who were offended? How far or what long is orange?
The third one.
What? The third one after like.
There's white, then yellow, then orange, then green.
If you just said karate in class, what would that be met with? Disdain?
No, why?
Because it's karate.
Because forever people said karate, and then all of a sudden you had to pronounce it correctly, karate.
That's what SpongeBob says. I don't have to do what SpongeBob says. Karate.
And we're already at number 10. Luckily, I never started vaping, because there were many conclusive studies stating that I would never look cool doing it.
That one's as fresh as the day's headlines.
Yeah, it is.
That one is.
Right on
those.
That's
wow.
That's Conan O'Brien. That's the only name that you might recognize out of all those tweets.
Oh, that was one of the
Conan
jokes.
Is one of the best of all the famous people who tweet. He's one of the funniest. He's reliably funny. And I don't think they come from his writers. These are not jokes that I necessarily see on his show or anything. But
normally, when a comedian is sending tweets out, is it written in joke form? Like, does it read the way it would read in his monologue? Or can you tell the difference between tweet jokes and monologue jokes?
You can often tell when they're stolen from the monologue. Bill Maher, for instance, will take his you'll see his jokes will come out in tweet form.
He tells jokes?
Wendy.
Oh, Wendy.
I'm
come
not a
on.
Bill Maher fan.
Come on.
Neither is James Corden. I love that whole situation going on.
Oh, have you talked about that?
No, we haven't, and it's really interesting. Bill Maher, I'll be honest with you, he seems very smug and annoying to me.
Well, he is smug, and I mean, I guess he can be annoying, but for the most part, you never watch his HBO show ever?
I don't like him. No, and was his stand-up, was he a good stand-up
comic? Yeah, he's a very good stand-up. Yeah.
I like his HBO show. In part, I really like when he has the guests on.
He
has a panel, and he also has several guests that he talks to one-on-one.
Yeah.
And the conversation is often very spirited and very smart.
He's very smart.
And
I'll give you that.
And you know, yeah, he does. He pushes some borders, and I don't agree with him politically on everything, but I find that show pretty compelling. I like it.
When he did stand-up, I worked with him twice, and he did little to no political humor back then.
I mean, it's really strange because a lot of times that's with weird. Guys that do political comedy, that's kind of the way they were all through their right. careers. He was just observational stuff. Every once in a while, a political bend would come into a joke, not often. And then his whole career after that, you know, the shows that he's been famous for
been
have all been
time,
political.
Right?
Yeah.
Was he a nice guy? Did you?
He was very nice to me.
Really?
Very nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he seems
really?
Like the kind of guy who wouldn't be nice yeah. off camera. I mean, and I don't mean that. I guess I do mean that in a nasty
he
way.
He seems like a meanie.
He just seems like someone who would be pretty cutting. But
not only was he nice, both times I worked with him, we had really fun weeks. And then I didn't see him. There was a period of about 5 years where I didn't see him. And then I was in, you know, the restaurant Topo Gigio that's in Old Town? Mm-hmm. I was there with some friends, and he came in, and it had been 5 years, and he recognized me. And he was really, really, we picked up right where we left off.
Friends were really impressed.
They were, well, he wasn't that famous yet. Politically Incorrect came just after
oh,
that.
Oh, I see. So, okay.
You know? So he was just another
so
working
comic. So
your friends
comic. Were like, he was another annoying comedian coming up to Bill. So.
Well, I had to explain to them, he'll be famous one day. This will mean something at some point. It doesn't yet, but trust me, someday it will.
So. And I know everybody's probably aware of it by now. We were trying to get James Corden on the show, and it's next yeah. to impossible. But basically, Bill Maher was saying
right.
fat shaming should come back. Why did it go away? It should be here. And James Corden, on his show, went to say, you know, it goes above and beyond that. He's had a weight issue his whole life and was very funny in his response about it.
He was very funny, but ultimately pretty serious.
Yeah.
Because Corden, yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, he's got a weight problem. And he was basically telling
Bill Maher
that you know, people who have weight problems have enough shame on their own without you adding to it, and
that doesn't make people lose weight, you know.
Yes, and it was really well. I mean, it was what about a 5 minute?
It was great.
Yeah. It was really long.
Didn't you think though that was the beginning of a bigger feud to come, and nothing happened much after that?
Yeah, why didn't it?
Mar didn't pick up on it or. On his show, he didn't mention it
right.
or apologize for it, so the kind of thing he would do. But,
right.
but that was really an interesting little exchange. And that was an example. When I heard Mar do that, I was like, oh, really? You know, you have to get into body shaming? And I like that Corden came back at him. Honestly.
He's no stranger to saying things that rile up people. I mean,
But does he truly believe that, or does he do it to rile people
it's
up?
It's good for business. Because then everybody talks about...
Well, he famously got fired from his show, Politically Incorrect. It was right after 9/11, and he was saying... And there was, and the common theme back then was, these hijackers are cowards.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, you know, you can say a lot of things about these hijackers, but they're not cowards. It's not a cowardly thing to do. It takes a lot of bravery to
right.
hijack an airplane and know that you're going to die and get guided into it. I mean, the cowardice is not the right word to use, not the right concept. And this just enraged people, and he got fired for that. I mean, I think he was basically right.
So. Yeah, but yeah. I wonder in retrospect, because everybody was so, I mean, it was the worst thing that happened to most of us in our lifetimes was that day, so everybody was very sensitive to the handling of that situation. I wonder if he would have said things either differently or not at all, knowing the outcome.
I don't think so. I think he's the kind of person who says what's on his mind, so,
yeah.
you know.
Let's take a break, and then more with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here, by the way, from the Chicago Tribune.
That's what the theme song
yeah,
is
they
for,
just
Bill.
Said, they just sang that. I'm sorry.
Come on.
The man who drove his SUV through Woodfield Mall, Javier Garcia, they say the prosecutors want to try him as a terrorist. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that this is a clearly very sad situation that everything I've read suggests that this man is mentally disturbed in a mm-hmm. very serious way. And I don't think that terrorism is the right word to describe what happened there. I don't know what I would do as a prosecutor. This may be another instance where the prosecutor puts a really heavy charge on, because I read somewhere that it could be up to life in prison, like 20 years to life in prison if you're convicted of terrorism. There's no indication that he's linked to any terrorist network or that he had any particular terrorist style agenda.
Right.
Isn't it domestic terrorism though? People were in fear for their life at a public place. He had looked at maps and views of the yeah. Woodfield Mall.
Yeah, no, there's no question that he had, as far as I can tell, that he had planned this out and that he had mayhem on his mind. The question is what's going on in his mind? And it seems as though this is a pretty clear case of a deep mental disturbance that calls for you know, you got to keep the public safe from him. Clearly,
sure.
You got to treat someone like that. I don't know that it falls under the same category as even as a conventional crime. Certainly not terrorism. That seems like the wrong term. On the other hand, as I said, it might just be something where they're charging him with this extremely serious offense in an effort to get his attorney to bargain him down to the sort of, you know, destruction of property,
right,
and the kind of things that would call for a certain form of punishment. I don't, you know, it's one of those things. There was this story recently about the former student at the University of Chicago. Do you remember this story? He was a kid, and he clearly had a lot of mental problems, and he was going after a police with a tire iron or a big metal pole.
Yeah.
And the cops shot him in the shoulder, as I recall, and just fired one shot, and it stopped the situation. And this was a story, and I actually wrote about it at the time because I praised the police officer who said, you know, it's like this was a situation where he clearly had every right to just ventilate the kid if he wanted to, but he saw what was going on, and he retreated, and when the kid kept coming, he fired one shot, and that stopped the situation. The kid lived. He disappeared a few weeks ago, and then he was found in the cornfields of Indiana, naked or something.
Oh, wow.
It was a terrible story. And the Sun-Times wrote it up, and I think we wrote it up a little bit too. And the thought was sort of like, well, this is just clearly someone who's got real problems. This isn't like a crime in the same sense of you know, kids who decide they're going to use a tire iron to break windows or something, or this guy was going to be out. They charged this guy in Indiana with indecent exposure because he was like naked.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Yeah. I mean, I get that you maybe have to file charges, but at the end of the day, this is just a severe mental health problem.
He needs help.
And I don't know when something like that rises to the level of a news story. When somebody is, when a police officer has to shoot somebody, that's a news story. But
sure.
But when you have people, and you see people on the streets of Chicago fairly often who are clearly have clear mental problems, and they may be doing things that are
they're not driving in a mall though.
No, I know. I'm not saying we should let the guy go or shrug this off, but I don't think it's terrorism. That's
so. Does this story play out differently if this man doesn't have some sort of mental issues? Are the charges different? Is the penalty going to be different?
I think so. My guess is that they will probably end up figuring out a way to maybe convict him of some sort of lesser charges, but some sort of, you know, insanity defense of some sort, because the guy needs help.
He needs help more than he needs prison.
Yes, and I don't think locking him away in a state prison for even a year is going to help him. And I think what you want to do is you want to try to help someone like that. You want to try to make sure that he doesn't do it again, because evidently he hadn't done it anything like this before. So this may have been a problem with medication. It may have been, you know, who knows what it was. The reporting on it, the information that's been released on it has not been all that comprehensive. But it's something where you hope that they figure out a way that this young man can end up living in some sort of supervised setting and make the most out of his life rather than just throw him away. So
do you think part of it, and you started to touch on this a little while ago, Eric, is that the definition of terrorism is a very gray definition? Everybody's idea of what terrorism is, there was terror involved. I'm sure if you were walking through that shopping center, Woodfield, and you saw an SUV coming at you, terror would be one of the emotions.
It's broad. Yeah, it's a broad definition. And I think because they need it to be broad, because you need it to cover the situation where this guy's got some sort of political agenda and he does the exact same thing. And it's, this is, of course, you know, Wendy's looking at me like I'm sort of softy here. But
no,
and,
I am, and the softy. Kid needs help.
Well, it would
have
been. And if he had killed somebody, which certainly could have happened, I think it's just a miracle that nobody got hurt. I mean, you've seen the video, right?
Yep.
He's driving an SUV through the mall.
Yeah.
If he'd killed somebody, then I think we would be having a very different discussion here. I don't think anybody was even hurt by this. It was just property damage.
Minor injuries, they had said.
Did they? Maybe people running away or something like that. But in any case, when you have something like this where the guy just needs help, then that means what we ought to do. And the terrorism definition, you know, has to do with the amount of property damage that's involved, and when you have these kind of atmospheric
things. Does that figure into it? I didn't know that was part of the equation as dollar values.
Yes, I think
wow.
It does.
Interesting.
And so you have the situation where the law is really broadly written in order to cover all kinds of contingencies, and it's a little bit like the law having to do with felony murder. And we talked about this in a segment earlier this month, I think, with an incident up in Lake County, where the homeowner shoots and kills a kid who is allegedly trying to steal a car outside of his house, and then they charge the kid's friends with murder.
And that was changed too.
And again, that may have just been like the prosecutor has this tool that he can use, but he's not actually going to use it on the person.
Right.
So,
terrorism doesn't seem like it might not be the right thing, but this kid needs help.
Well, let's wait and see how it plays out before we get too angry about it.
That's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
You can certainly join us on WGN Extra. We'll be there, WGNRadio.com, and we will be there till 1 p.m. The Wintrust Business Lunch will be happening on AM 720. And we didn't really do any magic today, did we?
There wasn't much magic today, Wendy, but tomorrow, comedian Rich Scheidner joins us, and it's also Tech Tuesday, so all that will happen tomorrow on the show.